Father, we need you. Lord, the world saps us of energy. The world saps our attention. The world saps our affections. And Lord, so often we don't even recognize it and we run on fumes. Lord, we've bought into an American version of Christianity that says if we just do a couple of things that everything will be fine. But Lord, you've called us to a greater commitment. So, Lord, even today we pray that your Spirit that resides in us as believers would bring conviction on our lives. Lord, you would refocus our hearts and our minds on what it means to claim the name of Christ, to claim to be a Christian. And Lord, would the world start seeing differences in us? Like Danielle, may we not be afraid to take a stand for what we believe and for whom we worship, but instead may we stand all the more boldly, knowing that you have done a great work of redemption in our lives. Oh, Father, we don't want Christ to be a part of our life. We want Christ to be our all in all. So we're asking, Lord, this day, for this word, for this time, joining together with what we have sung and what we will still sing, that you will bring about a holy work in your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's been some amazing movies in American history, here the last few years, about things that have happened in history, right? You think about movies like Braveheart. And what we often remember is, what's his name? I just forgot. William Wallace, but I was thinking of the guy. Mel Gibson. You see Mel Gibson on the horse, and he's riding back and forth, and he's giving this great speech to his men before they go off and fight. Mel Gibson again in a movie like The Patriot, right? I mean, he's giving this impassioned speech about why it's so important to fight against the British. You think about The Gladiator, right? The movie, and they're giving this speech about how you can go out and face these enormous odds and to fight against lions and the Colosseum. And even, not even in movies, but just in real life, you think about, like on 9/11, the story of those individuals on that plane that took it over, not allowing it to crash into the White House or wherever it was headed, and instead, the word simply, let's roll, and the impassioned desire to make something happen, right? These words are encouraging. These words stir up. Well, in the history of America, you see this from time to time. It's been accounted in the 1800s at the Battle of Little Big Horn, Crazy Horse, that's his Indian name, one of the leaders of the Sioux Indians, as they're getting ready to have this enormous battle, fighting for land, fighting for territory that they thought was rightly theirs. He yelled out to the men, this is a good day to die. Now, of course, obviously an Indian, right? But this is a good day to die. Follow me. And the story goes, and many books that were written about the events of that day, that the men began yelling it out too. This is a good day to die. Let's go. And as they went off into battle, that was their mantra. That's what they were chanting. This is a good day to die. It's a reminder to them to not be afraid of the battle and not be afraid to die. I want you to know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a good day to die. Not necessarily talking physically, although if you're a believer in Christ, we don't fear death, do we? I'm not saying go out and try to get martyred, but I want you to think about this. The Christian life, the Christian experience, if we can use that, what Christianity is founded upon are two deaths. Primarily and most importantly, it's founded upon Christ's death. If Christ hasn't died, then nothing is of value to us. We are still in our sins. We have no hope, right? But the other element of the Christian walk, the Christian life, is this, that we too are called to die. You know that? It's what Paul is telling us in Galatians this morning. We're just going to look at a few verses from Galatians, and keep your Bible handy because I'm going to have us jumping back to Romans and to Corinthians, a couple of passages there, because I want us to get this, because so much of what we hear and see in American Christianity is not about dying. It's about just syncretism. Just allow Jesus to be part of your life, when all the while Jesus says, no, if any man would come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself, follow me. Taking up his cross, he must die to self. The things of this world. Look at Galatians chapter 2. It's up on the screen as well if you don't have a Bible. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. Specifically for this morning, the message, we're going to look at 20. Listen to what Paul says. For we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Listen, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. If you have a bulletin, you can follow along. Just a couple of points this morning for us to think through from this text, verse 20 especially. And the first is this. A disciple is one who dies to self daily. On Wednesday night, I posed this question to our Bible study. What does it mean to be a disciple? And staff, we're reading a book about discipleship and how to transition or make a church really be centered on discipleship, because that really is what we're called to be as a church, right? I mean, Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. And so we've been thinking through, what does it mean to be a disciple? And for many people, they don't really know. They don't know what it means to be a disciple. A follower, a learner, a pupil, somebody who's being mentored, right? And all of those are maybe a good descriptors. We're going to be thinking about it and discussing it more as we move on. But for today's purpose, a disciple is somebody who is following after Jesus. But if you say that you're a disciple of Jesus, that you have Christ in your life, then the reality is that you're called to die daily. Today is the day that you're called to die. Look again what he says. For I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. What does that mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean to die daily as a follower of Jesus? Well, in one element, the idea of dying, being crucified in Christ means that we've died to the law and the demands of the law and the expectation of the belief that we can earn salvation by keeping the law, because in Christ we recognize we don't have to keep law in order to be righteous. Our righteousness is rooted in Christ, in His death, in His perfect obedience, in all the things that He did in fulfilling the demands of the law. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. We'll look at it more specifically in the weeks to come. But in Galatians 3:13, it's a reminder. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. You see, through Christ's death, we're not trying to earn our salvation. We can die to that way of life. And it's so thankful that we can, because so many in the world are trying to earn God's salvation by doing good works. And I know it's a struggle for even some of you here. Am I good enough? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Will He accept me? Last week, I don't think we could have emphasized it anymore. He accepts you not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. So we die to the law. We die to trying to observe law in order to be saved. But the other element is this. To be crucified in Christ means I die. One put it this way. For the Christian, the cross means death. And not just Jesus' death, but our death. We died with Christ on the cross. You see, to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ means we're free. Yes, we've been free. We've been set free from the demands of the law. But it also means this. We've been purchased by His blood. And what He is demanding of every one of us is that we would die to self. We would die to our wills. That we would die to all the things that we believe are important. And we would begin saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You see, the problem with so many American Christians is we think we can have Jesus as our Savior and not our Lord. He saved me, but I'm not living for Him. He saved me, but I'm just a carnal Christian. People, listen, I don't ascribe to this reality that you could be a carnal Christian. You're either in Christ and are putting off sin, or you're not in Christ. Yes, we stumble, and yes, there may be times in our lives where we don't do what we're supposed to be doing, but it doesn't mean we could just live however we want. If we're in Christ, if we're saying that we're believers, then we're called to die. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul's beginning to explain what this looks like. Be it for me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You get what he's saying there? When I became a Christian, no longer am I consumed with trying to make a kingdom for myself. That ends. It's not about me. I'm an ambassador for the living Christ. All of the ways, all of the dreams, all of the expectations, all the things that I wanted to accomplish with my life, now I hand over to You, Lord. Here's my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I've crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But it's no more powerfully expressed than Romans chapter 6. I told you we're going to flip some today. We're going to be going back and forth. Look over at Romans 6, because Paul is here, I think, unraveling what he means to be crucified with Christ. He's just gone on and said, look, because of Jesus and His one act of righteousness, we have been declared right. So then the question becomes, well, what about sin then? What about the way we live? Romans chapter 6, for what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? You see, Christian, you can't just say, well, I believe in Jesus, but then I'm going to continue to pursue after the flesh. We need to be mortifying the flesh, putting it to death. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism in death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That's why we as Baptists put such emphasis, not just on believers' baptism, but baptism by immersion. That is painting this picture. Here I am before Christ. I'm a pagan, but I believed in Christ, and I die. Going under the water is symbolic of going to the grave. I died in Jesus. And when I'm coming up out of that water, what do we say? Raised to walk in the newness of life in Christ. Why? Because the old man, the old person, the old Travis, the old you is buried in the grave. And now, gloriously, as Christ has been raised, we've been raised in Him. That's what He's saying. We've been crucified with Him in a baptism with Him. Verse 5, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Listen, we know that our old self was crucified with Him. Do you know that? Your old ways, they should have died. They should be dying. They were crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Being a Christian doesn't just mean that we add Jesus to our life as some kind of fire insurance, as some kind of hope that when we die, we escape the flames, but we could still live as we've always lived. No, being a Christian means that we, in our sinful flesh and on our hearts, we've been crucified. We're to die. We're to say, Lord, let the old man go away. Let the new man in Christ live. And the thing is, it has to happen daily. Daily. It's not a one-time thing and that you've crucified yourself and that you're forever walking with Jesus every day. Let me ask you this. Have you crucified yourself today? Have you died to self? Are you saying, Lord, even now, may I die? May I die to self? May I die to sin? May I die to flesh? May the life I live, may I live for the glory of Christ? Which leads us to the second point, and that's this. Not only must the disciple die daily, but as disciples, as somebody who lives daily with this union with Christ. You see, it's not that we just die, but notice what he says there in Galatians chapter 2. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Notice the pronouns. But Christ lives in me. And for us as believers, sometimes we see in the New Testament it says Christ lives in us. Sometimes it says God has given us the Holy Spirit as the sign and the seal of our redemption. But what it reminds us of is this, that when we died, Christ's righteousness has been given to us. So now, in a sense, when God looks at us, like we said last week, He sees Christ's righteousness. He clothes us. He dwells in us. His blood atones for us. We've been justified before God because of Christ's work on our behalf. We've been clothed. But it also means because Christ lives in us, we should live differently. And notice what he says. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live daily, the way I live daily, the life I live in the flesh daily, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. What he's saying is this, as a disciple, because Christ lives in you, you should live differently. You don't have to worry about the demands of the law anymore. You're set free from that, but you cannot continue to live the way you've always lived because Christ lives in you. Do you not know that your bodies were purchased with a price? Therefore, do what? Honor the Lord with your bodies. So in Corinthians, he says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do what? Do all for the glory of God. Of God, these vessels that we have, they're on loan. The Lord lives in us. We can't just do with them what we want, but we're called to put to death sin. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Maybe you didn't flip back. Romans chapter 6. Listen what Paul goes on and says then. Because we've died with him, we've been crucified. Verse 12. Verse 6, Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let sin have root, have residence, have authority in your flesh to make you obey their passions. Do you hear what he's saying? You've been set free. Therefore, don't allow it to have authority. Verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for what? For righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace. The Bible is full of examples where it tells us, look, we're free. Don't use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use our freedom to do what we want. Instead, use the fact that we're free from the law, that we're free from condemnation, that we're free from the evil one. Let us to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, work in me to root out sin. Lord, work in me to be holy and pure for your name. Lord, here's my hands, here's my mouth, here's my mind, here's my body. May I honor you today for your glory. May when the sin pops in my mind and the temptation in my heart, may I say, no, I've been crucified with Christ, Lord. I'm yours. I'm your instrument. I'm your slave. In Romans 6, he says, we're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. We're not really free. We've been purchased. So therefore, honor the Lord with your body. And the reason we can do all of this, and the reason it should be a joy to do all this, is what he says there. Because of the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Look, following after Christ, putting to death sin, it's hard work. It is easy to walk through life and say, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. It's easy to let sin reign in our bodies. It's easy to be slack. Working out is hard work, isn't it? Getting fit is hard work. Running, you girls that are running in this marathon coming up, it's hard work training, isn't it? You people that are preparing for Mudders, it should be hard work, right? You're getting ready to do something strenuous. You can't just go out there and do it. Same thing with our Christian life. It's hard work. So what I'm trying to do, I guess in a sorry kind of way, is do what like others have done in a powerful way. Look, today's a good day to die because Jesus has died for us. He's atoned for our sins. He set us free. He lives in us. He's calling us to put to death sin. And there's benefits to putting off sin. It's not just a painful thing, but the end result of putting to death sin is a glorious life. You have integrity. You're not worried that somebody's going to find out what's going on in your life. You're not worried about consequences. You're not worried about brokenness. You're not worried about the destructiveness of sin, right? When you're walking in holiness and you're walking after Christ, you know that God is honored in your life. You know that he says, I'll bless you. You know that there are good things to those who come to present their lives to Jesus. So my call to us today, church, it's a good day to die. Tomorrow, it's going to be a good day to die. We wake up, Father, here I am, take my life. We didn't sing all those verses. Let me just remind you of what it says, and then I'm going to ask you a question and I'm done. Listen, great song that Michael and the ladies sang. Is this your prayer? Can you say this? Take my life, let it be consecrated, just holy, set apart, sanctified. Lord, to Thee, take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in, Lord, here's my day. I'm yours. I die. Christ lives in me. I want to walk by faith and do what you've called me to do. Take my hands. Let them move at the impulse of your love. Take my feet. Let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice. Let it sing always only to my King. Let my lips, let them be filled with power. With messages from you. Filled with messages from you. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Take my love, Lord. I pour at your feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. And then last, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. How can you say that unless you've been crucified? Lord, take my will and make it yours. It will no longer be mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Do you know that if you say that you're a believer in Christ, what you're saying is that Jesus reigns and rules in your life? And if that is true, how can you let sin reign in your life? Either Jesus is Lord or sin is Lord in your life, but they both cannot be Lord. So, church, I ask you this. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you believing in Him? Intellectually, affectionately, with your emotion? Are you believing in His life and His death and His resurrection? Are you dying with Him daily? Lord, I die to self. And are you following after Him, obeying Him, seeing Him as worthy, keeping His commandments, living by faith, walking in the Spirit? We get to chapter 5 of this book, Galatians. That's what he's going to say. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's not give opportunity for the flesh, but instead may the Spirit rest and reside in us. Church, have you died to the law? Have you died to self? Have you died to flesh today? Are there things that the Lord wants you to lay down today? Will you do it? Today is a good day to die. Let us die for the glory of Christ. Father, we pray, Lord, in our lives, the things that we allow to rule and to reign and to reside, the things that hinder our walk publicly, privately, the things that hinder our relationship with you, Lord, we lay them down today. Lord, show us what it means to die daily. Show us what it means to truly be crucified in Christ. And to truly live for Him. Lord, may it start in this church and in churches in this community. May we truly be holy and pleasing to Jesus. May we, Lord, may we reflect the glory of Jesus. May we reflect that we've been purchased with blood that is costly. May we reflect that we're not our own, but we're Jesus's, that we're His. Our bodies are His, our minds are His, our hands are His. And Father, even now, if there are things in our life that we need to deal with You, where we're seated at, or at the pew, or at the altar, or with the deacon, or with myself, or Jonathan, Lord, may we do business with You, but Lord, oh Lord, may we die to self today. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand.